This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The two candidates in the only contested supervisor race in Albemarle County met for the first time Thursday at a forum organized by the Cove Garden Ruritans. Republican John Lowry is challenging Democrat Liz Palmer to represent the Samuel Miller District on the Board of Supervisors. This forum was held at the North Garden Volunteer Fire Company, and topics included economic development and the future of the county's court system, as well as environmental issues. The moderator is Sandy Bishop of the Cove Garden Ruritans.
So I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I'm the moderator for the evening. I'm going to let both John and Liz have 2 or 3 minutes to introduce themselves. And then we're going to have 30 to 40 minutes of questions. And I'm asking that you keep your questions as short and concise as possible. And same thing for our candidates, if they can keep their answers 2 to 3 minutes, it would be nice. So we have a chance for everybody to speak that would like to speak and would like to ask questions. Be respectful of others. Try not to interrupt when someone else is speaking. We're going to have our candidates get their answers out and the audience get their questions in. Okay, Liz, if you want to start.
Okay. Most of you probably know, my name is Liz Palmer. I'm the current supervisor for the Samuel Miller District, and thank you very much for holding this to the Ruritans. It's been a wonderful forum. I've been here multiple times now, and one of the most important things for a candidate and for an elected representative is to have a chance to get out and talk to residents and constituents and find out what your concerns are, listen to your concerns, and allow me to tell you how I feel about those concerns. A little bit about myself. I'm a small animal practitioner, veterinarian, 36 years practicing. Several years ago, I decided that I was going to consider running for the Board of Supervisors. And in order to try to make a living and do this at the same time, I had to get out of a clinic. So I opened up a small animal practice doing a mobile veterinary practice, and that's been working out relatively well over the last few years while on the Board of Supervisors. The reason why I want to stay on, I've only got about 2 or 3 minutes, so I have to be quick. Basically, there's two things that the Board of Supervisors has to do. I'm sorry. One is constituent services, and that's number one. Constituent services can be anything from helping a group do a farmer's market, and they're running into some red tape at the county, or the county decides to renumber all the houses on your street, and you're not really crazy about that. To things like getting involved in Yancey Elementary being closed and trying to decide what services the Southern Albemarle needs and how that building that's in excellent shape should be used. The other thing is long-term infrastructure planning and the financial management that allows us to do those. These are the things that have really gotten involved in, and one of the big reasons why I ran for the Board of Supervisors in the first place. The water and sewer infrastructure, very important to protect the watershed for future generations. It's also incredibly important for economic development. You can't have good economic, healthy economy in a community if you don't have adequate water and sewer capacity in your urban area. The other is something that I've worked on really hard over the last 4 years, which is rural internet service. Very important for education for our kids. It is important for small businesses. It's important for quality of life and also for the property values of your homes. And we've now got a broadband authority, and I am appointed to that authority and have been working very hard in accessing state grants to make that happen in the rural areas. And the other that I wanted to talk about really quickly is trash. When I first got on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, our only commercial transfer station in the county was about to close. We were going to have a convenience center, which would be predominantly for residential use. It would have not been permitted for a lot of different small businesses and haulers. And I'm now sitting on the Solid Waste Authority Board of Directors, and we're putting in a new commercial transfer station, expanding the recycling services, and also hopefully get to the point where we're going to have some satellite trash disposal areas like they have in Nelson and like we have in Augusta County. And I think I'm probably 3 minutes, so I'll stop.
Thank you, J.C. Wolf, and thank you for being the MC, Judy. And I am John Lowry. I am a candidate for the Samuel Miller Board of Supervisors seat. The election is November the 7th, so it's just 2 months away. I am also your neighbor. I live only a mile up the road. I've lived there for 30 years. You all are familiar faces. My activity in this area once a week is to practice bagpipes at Grace Church, so I'm not always at your meetings. I grew up in Williamsburg, and as a young man, I worked as a costume guide in Williamsburg. And I thought, after working in my costume in colonial Williamsburg, that everybody at some stage in their life did government service. So the short answer of why I'm running is it's my time to be served if I'm chosen. I also have had a lot of, I met my wife, Nancy File, who's here. She is a local. We met at William and Mary, and we moved up here 40 years ago, so we've lived in Albemarle County for 40 years. I have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. While I had my career, I think it was a successful career, I guess, I also volunteered for community service. And the last couple of decades, I've done county work. I have a track record. I was chair of the Joint Airport Board when the new airport was built. We wanted it to be a gateway to the community. It's a very pretty building. I was chair of the Board of Equalization for 12 years. And I was chair of the Economic Development Authority for 12 years. We had a good run. We had about $500 million in bonds in the county name that went to projects that were good for the community, Martha Jefferson Hospital, University of Virginia, Monticello, Westminster Canterbury. So I did that, and then I did the Board of Equalization. I was chair for 5 years. That's the tax board. If you have difficulty understanding your real estate assessment, you come to the Board of Equalization. Sometimes we're easy to work with, and sometimes we're not. I also know a lot of you because I've been an election official at Red Hill School. And so I recognize a lot of faces that come in regularly to vote. But my talking points for this campaign are I would like to see us have a better balance in how we govern ourselves in Albemarle County. We need to have a better balance in how we use our land. We need a better balance in how we finance ourselves. And we need to have an economic development program in Albemarle County. And I think that we'll address these topics as we go along answering your questions tonight. I want to say that Liz and I are friends. We've known each other for about 10 years. We say hello to each other. We speak. And at the end of the campaign, I want it to be that way too. But there, having said that, I think as we answer questions tonight, you'll see that there is a difference philosophically between she and me. And I'm hoping that I can win your vote and we'll have you turn out on November 7th to pull my lever. Thank you.
Thank you both. We're open for questions. Anybody have any questions?
First, Ms. Warrior, how would you How would you explain the differences in your approach, or where do you and Liz differ in terms of what you think should be done?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just going back to those three points, when I talk about land, our county is beautiful. We all love our land because it's beautiful, but it also is our means to sustain ourselves. And it's not, we can't just have taxes, real estate taxes, pay for all the things that we want to do. As Liz has said in a talk she gave last October, only about 15% of the county revenue comes from commercial activities. It could easily be 30%. Henrico County is in the 30%. So we could do other things with our land that we're not doing now. The second thing is in financing ourselves. Taxes the last 4 years are up on average 25%. The tax rate is up about 12.5%, and the tax assessments are up. It's 4 out of the last 5 years the assessments have gone up. 4 out of the last 5 years the tax rate's gone up. That's sort of unsustainable in my mind. It goes back to saying we need to have other kinds of revenue come in to finance ourselves. I think that's a difference between she and me. The other thing is our debt in the county has doubled in the last 4 years. I think that's unsustainable. I don't want to have the debt continue like that. In fact, I don't think we should have new debt anytime soon because we're running a surplus right now. The last thing about economic development is that we don't have an economic development program in Albemarle County. We don't have an economic development director. We don't have an economic development staff that we should have. We should have a manager for finance, new business, a manager for existing business. We do have Susan Steinmark, that would be perfect there. And we ought to have a manager for real estate. Our county doesn't have a working economic development department. We're sorely remiss in not having that. So there are three differences between she and me.
Can I answer that?
You may. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So as far as the land development is concerned, I think there are some misnomers, and this board that I'm working on with right now is actually quite diverse in their opinions and has established economic development as a strategic priority. Okay. Now, the economic development, the land situation, a lot of people, and I think that Mr. Lowry has said this before, that he is interested in looking at expanding the development area, which is 5%, and I don't mean to misrepresent anything. But there currently is a lot of areas in the development area that we can develop. There are thousands, literally thousands, already approved residential units. There is property that we can develop from a commercial standpoint. One of the issues that's talked about quite a bit is there's not enough industrial land available. And this has happened over the years because we've put a pretty high price. Our land is privately owned, of course, and owners of that property want to get the maximum amount of money for it. And so they put a high price on it. This is a good example is Fifth Street Station. And they say they can't sell it. So they go to the Board of Supervisors and they say, you know, we need to have that rezoned. And we want to rezone it commercial. And right away we get Fifth Street Station. That's how we lose the industrial property. It's one of the ways. But I would say that we have a lot of land in the development area to work with. With respect to the tax rate, when I ran for the Board of Supervisors, people asked me, are you going to increase the tax rate? And I said, yes, I am going to increase the tax rate. I was very, very clear about that. In about 2007, the then Board of Supervisors dropped the rate significantly. They should have, because we had a run-up on assessments. But then in 2008, the recession hit, House prices went down, and we had several years of decrease in revenue. What happened during that period of time was we were not able to keep up with our capital improvements plan. And at that point, I was on the Albemarle County Service Authority board of directors, and I was watching this. And we had money set aside, and I got to hurry up. We had money set aside, and what we did was we went out and did projects at 30% off for the construction prices were down. And I was watching this, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to run for the Board of Supervisors. We didn't take advantage of that. And so what I did when I first got in for the first 3 years, I did raise the tax rate, and it was to equalize the payment. And then last year we had the assessment increase. And I wish I could talk about the debt real quick. It is, we have a AAA rating, AAA rating, and we stay well within our limits. We have financial managers that do this, and we are in really good shape, and interest rates are low. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I'll respond. Okay. We can just keep it going.
Yeah. Well,
the county has 470,000 acres. The county has 110 acres zoned light industry and 440 acres that are commercial zoned now. So we have a paucity of land that's immediately available. In terms of our good financial managers, I introduced to the county the public finance banker. And I would feel very comfortable in telling you that I think that we don't need to have any more new debt for the county because we're running a surplus right now. We ran a surplus in the county of $8.5 million last year. The new year ended June 30. So by this time next month, we may hear from Betty Burrell, the county treasurer, of what the surplus was this past year. So $8.5 million as of June 30, 2015-16, and now we've finished another fiscal year. I wonder what the surplus is. The other thing is we don't need to raise taxes if we're running a surplus. Ms. Palmer says that she told people that she would raise taxes, but if you go back and look at Charlottesville Tomorrow's interview with her before she ran, she said she would look at adjusting taxes to equalize any rise in assessment. She did not say anything about raising taxes. So I want to work with what we have in a new way so that we can have new things happen in the county that are beneficial to all of us.
Can I go again? Or should we go ahead and have some other
questions? Let's go ahead and have some other questions.
Okay.
Susan? I wanted to ask Mr. Lowry, do you have any projects in mind, commercial or industrial?
Yeah, I do not believe it is government's job to find business. We need to have an economic development department to work with businesses, but businesses will find their own way to our community. The best example you all would probably be aware of is Deschutes Brewery right up the road, an absolutely perfect business prospect. It would have been a tourist destination. It would have generated $2.5 million in taxes for the county every year. It would have provided a market need. It was a company in Bend, Oregon that was very environmentally sensitive, and they wanted to be in Charlottesville. Everything that they would have sold would say Charlottesville, Virginia on it. It'd just be like ringing the cash register. It was in a line of business that the county had already identified as what kind of business the county would like to have. So we missed that opportunity. We closed the door on them coming here. But that doesn't mean it couldn't happen again. We need to be receptive to having new businesses come to our community, and they'll find a way to do it if we have the staff to work with them, and right now we don't.
Was that a brewery?
It was a brewery, yeah. It was a craft brewer, the ninth largest craft brewery. And since that time, Ballast Point from San Diego also looked at our area, And after they saw what happened to Deschutes, they went down to Botetourt County, just north of Roanoke, where Deschutes was. Deschutes was not in a hurry to do anything here. They haven't even broken ground in Roanoke. They're not going to have their plant get going until 2019. So we could have gone through all the process to make sure they did what we wanted them to do, but we shut the door and they left.
I've got to just respond to that. I'm sorry. I was in the room on that one. And if you believe the myth that Deschutes was actually coming here, I would have had to raise all your tax rates in order to get it. They had a $12 million package to go to Roanoke. They bought Deschutes. They were looking for free dirt. We didn't have free dirt to give them. The area on 29 South, this is an industrial brewery. It would have been 24/7 tractor trailers going in and out of there. We talk about a craft brewery. This wasn't Blue Mountain Brewery. This was a big industrial brewery that wanted to locate at that. And anybody that goes up and down this road and knows about the tractor trailers that back up at 64 and 29, you know what would have happened there. But reality is that they wanted free dirt. That land was owned by a private owner, as our land is around here. And as somebody in the room at the time, they came to us and said, they're asking too much for their land. Are you going to pay for it? They wanted a lot to come here, if you even believe that they were coming in the first place, because it was pretty obvious when we looked at the timing that they were dealing with Asheville and Roanoke, that they were using us to, you know, just get their bids up elsewhere. So anyway, I have to disagree with
just
that one.
Just
big
a
time.
Quick 1 minute rebuttal.
Okay.
We have, in this area, the Central Virginia Economic Development Partnership, and they get leads, and the lady who runs the Central Virginia Economic Development Partnership said they would never have fronted Charlottesville in order to get the business down in Roanoke. They don't do that in the state of Virginia. As far as the economic package goes, Deschutes would have had to pay rollback taxes of 6 years. So it would have had a $2.5 million credit right up front for them to be here. They did get a tax package from the state. They would have gotten a tax package if they'd come here. They would have gotten a tax package from us if we had wanted them. Now, they wanted the property, and the property was for sale, and some of the landowners wanted a higher price than they had wanted before, but they were willing to sell, whereas in the past, they were not willing to sell. So everything moved together so that Deschutes could have come here. Would it have been worth the investment of some county money in order to get a stream of revenue for, well, 20 years out is all you need to know. 20 years out is a lot of money that could have come into the county that we didn't even try to get.
We did try to get it. And I'm sorry, I was in all the closed sessions. I dealt with this very clearly, and we can fight about it, but it just wasn't like that. Go ahead.
I have a question, because you're talking about bringing economic development to the southern part of the county, but you also brought up a piece of real estate where the traffic is already so horrendous that I have come within an inch of my life many times because of the tractor trailers. So how do you all view getting economic development down here, and who deals with the infrastructure, with the effects of all this success and all this, because we're the ones who have to deal with it, because we're the ones who live in the southern part of the county going back and forth, and we're on these roads.
Who are you asking?
I'm asking both of them.
Well, I can just very quickly say that there's land right at that point that has been zoned highway commercial since 1980, and it hasn't gotten developed beyond what it is right now, and there's a reason for that. It's hard to get water and sewer there. There's a lot of rock there. It's really expensive, and the traffic is horrendous.
You might definitely would put a signal in, I'm sure, but if that all this happened, the traffic lights finally.
Well, we actually thought maybe that was the case, and we went to VDOT, and we actually put in a smart scale. We actually put in an application for it. We got... we did not do a very good job in getting, it's not the job that we did, it did not get approved, and it was way down on the approval list. And one of the reasons why is because we didn't put $10 or $20 million into it of tax money. But as far as economic development in the southern part of the district, I think this county has been looking at agribusiness and trying to support that a lot. And I do have some things I could say about the Economic Development Department, but I don't want to take up the time on that if people don't want to hear about what we're already doing. But we've been focusing on agritourism and agribusiness in the southern part of the district and put a lot of time and energy into that.
And I also would like to bring up other points about the economic development and other specifics that the supervisors have done that I disagreed with and things that I would specifically like to do. But to your question about the intersection of 118, exit from 64 and 29, that intersection was 150th on the list in the state. Within 6 months of our turning down the Shoups, closing their door to them without even pursuing good negotiations, within 6 months, the state came to us in February, 6 months later, and said, we're moving that intersection down to 274th on the list. And one of the reasons was any sign of progress of economic development at that intersection, and a zero into anything else, a zero in the denominator leaves a very low answer.
Actually,
so I would call that intersection a bittersweet intersection. Bittersweet is an invasive plant, and you've got a lot of hanging bittersweet at that intersection. I would like to see something at that intersection that's useful to the county. Yes, it's rugged terrain, and that's why you don't have houses there, but it would have been very nice for a craft brewer.
And yet we still have the traffic.
You still have the traffic, and what VDOT told us, one of the reason why we did, why it got moved down so far, is because the ones that did get approved had huge input from localities, $10 million, $20 million put on the table. Northern Virginia is getting a lot of those big infrastructure projects. We did get the one on 29 North. We were very happy to get that. And we have a nice network of roads up there to help get people to businesses there. But that's what VDOT is telling us, is that we need to put more money on the line to get those kinds of things done. Now, we are getting an extra lane on Fontaine, to going into Fontaine Avenue, which is really good, and they're looking at different options to try to do a cheaper route. But that was an extremely expensive intersection because of the distance of Fontaine intersection to the 64 intersection. It's a very poorly designed intersection all the way.
The whole price tag for that intersection was supposed to be $165 million, and that's a very big number. But after we rejected Deschutes, then we came back with a plan that we could divide the work that needs to be done at that intersection so that, yes, you have the Fontaine exit being expanded, and then you could have a clover leaf come around so that the traffic trucks don't have to cross 29 to go west. So it's simply using good imagination, splitting it down to smaller amounts, and having activities so that the state would be our partner.
And that's going ahead, by the way. It's not, it hasn't been taken off. VDOT is actually looking at trying to do a little different on that exit. So, anyway.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You're up in the country here, and one of the county's big goals is to save open spaces because most people in the public value them greatly. One of the county's programs is to promote incidents, in particular the AIDS program. And I was wondering what both of you thought about the county's ACE easement program.
You go first.
Well, Mr. Olivier is a member of ASAP, Advocates for Sustainable Albemarle Population. And he's also with the Sierra Club. And so I understand, Tom, what your question is and where you're coming from. And I like the idea of having landowners have the option of having conservation easements if they wish. We've gone conservation easements from 20,000 acres in 1996 to 93,000 acres as of last year. So that's a dramatic growth in conservation easements. Ms. Palmer talked about the comprehensive plan area, the growth area. Yes, it has shrunk from 25,000 acres 30 years ago to 24,000 acres. Now, the growth has been in conservation easements. His question specifically is about ACE, Albemarle Conservation Easements. That's where our tax money goes to people that have land. It's called people that don't have a lot of land and not a lot of money. They're called land poor, but actually it's sort of cash poor. Tom, I'm against having county tax money go from taxpayers to people who live in a county because we want them not never to rezone their property. I don't think tax dollars should do that. The county applied last year with six other counties in the state of Virginia for matching grants. We were the only county that got all of what we wanted. So the state gave us $412,000 and our county put in $412,000. And that money is going to go to private landowners, so they'll go under conservation easements. That's our tax money. Now, that's not a person saying, I've talked to my family and we decided we want our land to stay rural forever. That's fine. That's one thing. But I don't think the county should be in conservation easement business. Is that specific enough for you?
Well, I actually do. I think there's a lot of reasons why we want to protect our farms, and sometimes it is difficult for individuals to keep their farm and pay the taxes, and that is one way for them to protect their soils, protect their farm for future generations, and it's completely voluntary for them. One of the things that this has done for us is it's interesting to me, as we can get into the rain tax, as they call it, and what we are going to have to do and what we are doing right now is we have to protect our rivers. This is part of the Chesapeake Bay restoration, and it has trickled down to us over the last 20 years through lawsuits and whatnot, and is finally here. And we have to protect our waterways. And one of the best ways we can do that is to protect our farmland. And we have people in this room right here that have used the ACE program. Yes, it is for people who have a lot of land and maybe not enough cash. And rich people can do this. They can do this through private entities like the Nature Conservancy, and there's a variety of ones that hold easements. But there is the ACE program is the one that allows people in this community to keep their farms and protect their land, protect their soil. And farmland is critical. It is absolutely critical. It also adds economic value. People come here and have wedding venues and all the other wineries and whatnot because it's so beautiful. And we have a thriving agricultural community here that is very important for our economy and our quality of life. So for environmental protection of soil and water, I think it's extremely important. And for our future as a county, businesses like to come to Charlottesville and locate in Charlottesville because they can drive right outside of the development area and they're in this beautiful, beautiful countryside, and they can go to wineries, and they can go to cheese places and taste cheese. So this is an incredibly important community, and I very much think it's a good idea to.
I got a question on that point.
Okay.
That is, we're trying to entice people to come to Charlottesville. What's going on in Charlottesville right now, I would not recommend my family to come into Charlottesville.
I don't know that we're enticing people. We get 1,500 people here a year, whether we ask for them or not. They're coming here, and they because it is a beautiful place, but I'm not sure what your question is.
We get statues that are being covered with plastic.
Yeah.
Because why? Why is that going on?
Well, we need one of the counselors here to go through that.
I get a call from my daughter in Seattle, and she says, what's going on in Charlottesville?
Yeah, my kids have been doing the same thing. Yeah, it's a very difficult issue.
I've wondered why we didn't get that question asked right up front. And honestly, Charlottesville owns the land that the statues are on. And Albemarle County owns the courthouse at Court Square. But Albemarle doesn't own the land that the statues are on. So Albemarle County can do very little about what's happening. A judge is going to have to decide. There are going to be counselors that are going to be elected in November. It's not over yet. The damage has been done. And it's naive to think that there isn't going to be a consequence from that, that Albemarle will be hurt already. Instead of $1,500 a year, it's certainly $1,500 minus X. I would have thought in the next 8 years, next two cycles for this Samuel Miller seat, that our population would go up 10,000 people. It's not going to go up 10,000. He's exactly right. Bill's right. Because we've really been hurt. It's going to take a long time. So Albemarle County needs to figure out how to lead us the best we can out of what's become a mess. And that's what I would like to be. I'd like to be someone with vision and ideas and leadership for the county.
We do have one statue, and that's in front of the courthouse. And it's the statue of represents all of the soldiers of the Confederacy that fought and died in that war. And it does sit right in front of our courthouse. And so we will have to take a look at that. I personally never thought much about the statues, and I think that the infrastructure and the other issues are a lot more important, but we are going to have a discussion about that. We are working with, we have a regular relationship that we talk to the counselors all the time. We had a meeting yesterday that we expected folks to come in and complain, but we had very, very few people. We had a few people that came in, were pro-statue, and a few people that came in that were anti-statue, and we had a good discussion, and it was very respectful and reasonable, and I agree. I think it is going to damage us, but we don't know how in the future.
We have time for one more question.
Okay.
Since you brought up courthouse, if you move the courthouse, then the statue becomes moot. But I would like to know, what is the latest on moving the courthouse?
What we are doing is we are spending, I think, way too much money on some studies to see if it is of economic value for economic development to move the courts to 29 North. This is one of those places where I am in the minority on the board. I think that the main purpose of a court is to enhance the administration of justice and not economic development, but if you want to look at economic development, I really don't want to take our most valuable land on 29 North and put a public building on it where we're not going to get any tax revenue from it. And I can't imagine that it's going to be of economic value because it closes at 5 o'clock every day and is closed all weekend long. So I don't understand the logic, but that's what we're doing. We're going to be getting the results of that of those studies back in October and November, and the board is going to have to make a decision on that. We're looking at how the different agencies work together on this, like OAR and all the different ones that that work together. And so that's where we are, and it's going to be open for discussion, and I will definitely be – okay, I need to stop. Okay.
Gene Woods has a question, but I wanted to say that Ms. Palmer and I are in agreement on this issue, that the option one is stay where it is. The courthouse is a beautiful building, historic building. We spent $2.5-3 million about 10 years ago to brick it all in so the utilities are underground. The Levy Opera House is right next door. It can be retooled into three floors, one for the county, one for the city, and one extra. So there's room for growth. The city has offered to build a parking garage on 6th and Market Street. Why would we ever want to move? So Ms. Palmer and I are agreeing on that. Did you have a question, Gene, or is that what you wanted? All right.
So our meeting is over, but I'm going to give each candidate 2 minutes for a last plug.
Okay. I went first, so why don't you go first this time?
Okay. Thank you, Sandy Bishop, Sandy. And thank you, JC, for hosting this. Thank you, Ruritans, for being here. This is the first forum of the season. There are going to be 4 or 5 more. Please stay tuned. We'll have more talking sessions. I've enjoyed very much being here. To sum up, I want to go back to what I said in the first place about our land and our how we finance ourselves and economic development. When we talked about ACE, conservation easement, she skipped over to watershed. And there is going to be a rain tax, and it's coming in 2019. Unless something really dramatic happens. It's just a question of how much it's going to be. And I'm not in favor of 100-foot setbacks around ponds and lakes and streams. I have land on the Hardware River. I don't think it needs to be a 100-foot setback to be pristine. 30-foot setbacks are pretty strong. There are things in the watershed to study and the rain tax that are coming that date back to the Environmental Protection Agency saying that ponds and lakes are navigable streams. And we're in the midst of change on the Environmental Protection Act. Some things were done without legislation, and some of those things are going to be rolled back. So stay tuned on the rain tax. I'm not sure it all is very fair. So anyway, thank you all for your attention. I'm glad that you are here, and I ask for support. On November 7th, I hope to win your vote.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. All right. And we're not talking about 100-foot setbacks, but anyway. And thank you very, very much for coming and inviting us, and I always enjoy coming here. It's very relaxing and just a really great venue. And thank you for being here also, John. I think you ought to vote for me because there is a learning curve to this. I've been in here for 4 years and I've learned quite a bit. I am working on finishing up the water supply plan, which is very important for economic development. I am also working very hard on the internet service to the rural areas, and that's a tremendous learning curve. And I'm also working on the trash, which I would love to come here and talk about because it's just been fascinating to work with some of the local people around here that I've been working with that know the business
And I will just put in a real quick plug. What I've learned is there's 35,000 cars per year that go across those scales over there, and about 60% of them are small businesses. So if we're talking about economic development in the rural area and support of small businesses, then that's a really important issue. And I'm always supportive of the schools and et cetera, so I'll be quiet now again.
Any pictures? Any pictures? We have a picture. We can shake hands.
We're so photogenic. Doesn't right. somebody want to take a picture of us?